This is April 12, 2017, the Courtroom Observer call, and I have some good news from Arkansas. This is somebody saying we got a victory. It's called Victory ALEC, which is an acronym for American Laws for American Courts, becomes Arkansas law, which is amazing because that's common law. And this is what they said. It is my district. It's my distinct pleasure and honor to announce that this morning we heard that HB 1041, American Laws for American Courts, had become Act 980. Since then, at least four reputable sources have confirmed this action. This afternoon, I called the Arkansas Bureau of Legislative Research. I asked them to confirm the report. I was told that this was indeed true. While the governor did not sign HB 1041, neither did he veto the bill. After the unsigned bill sat on the governor's desk for the required number of days, it became law. The governor can no longer veto the unsigned bill. ALEC will become, in 90 days, the law of the land in Arkansas. All judicial decisions in Arkansas will use as their sole standard the Constitution of Arkansas and the Constitution of the United States. This is the effect of making Arkansas free of all Sharia law and, for that matter, any foreign law. I wish to deeply thank all of you who made phone calls, wrote letters, and sent emails advocating the passage of HB 1041. This indeed was a major collaborative effort between Act of America, Act for America, the Center for Security Policy, the Republican Party, the Tea Party, the Patriotic Citizens of Arkansas, and yes, many Democrats. This coalition of the willing carried the day. A special thanks to the members of the Arkansas House and Senate who voted for this bill in huge numbers. A special thanks to Representative Brant Smith of Jonesboro, who guided the bill through all legislative steps, and also Senator John Cooper of Jonesboro, who first wrote the ALEC bill 6 years ago. It has been a tough battle, but after six long, exhausting years, we won the struggle. Thank each of you for your persistent efforts. This time they paid off. That's pretty neat.
Wow, I guess so.
That's great news. So
what, by the governor not signing the bill, it automatically became law?
Yeah, after a certain amount, he has so many days to veto it or sign it. And if it just sits on his desk for a certain amount of days, it's law, and he can't veto it.
Oh.
I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
You know?
I know that once a law was passed, that was under the understanding that there has to be, after so many days, people can protest the law, and if there's no protest within the amount of time, then it automatically becomes law. Excuse me, becomes law then. If nobody protests.
Interesting. Yeah, and that's why they try to do all this stuff in secret, so nobody knows anything, and they just do all that junk.
Wow. Yeah, there's other states too that have been doing things along the sly about Sharia law.
Hmm.
I can't remember which ones they were. Montana? I think Montana had something going on.
Oh, interesting.
With Sharia law, whereby they have nipped it in the butt.
Yep. Nice.
Every state has to do it for sure.
All right. So, all right. Well, anyway, anybody else? Hey, Curtis, I haven't seen you on the call in a while. How are you doing?
Well, I'm trying to get caught up.
Where have you been? You been on the road?
Well, I was for a while, and the only time I got a job, I'd get fired. Apparently, I had an eye issue, and it was causing me issues on the road. I got 3 jobs in 6 months, and I got fired within 2 months. A lot of them. So everybody said, well, that's an indicator you don't need to be on the highway, and we've been praying for you to get out of that truck. And so, well, they succeeded. I guess that's, you know, when everybody's praying for me to get out of the truck, you know, I'm out of the truck.
Okay. So what is wrong with your eyes?
old age.
Uh-huh.
I've had all kinds of tests done and spent quite a bit of time at the VA. And
okay.
Yeah, they just say there's nothing I've done to do it. There's nothing I can do to make it better. Pretty much.
But it's not, is it cataract? It's not cataract, is it?
No, I don't have any of that. I thought I might have. I thought I might have macular degeneration, but I didn't have that. I thought I had some other pupil thing. I did have a slight issue with my pupil, but it was like a pimple on it. But I've had retina detachment, you know, from the fluid that gels, and then it separates, and it happened to cut some blood vessels. So those two things kind of hindered the old age thing, but... You know, it's just that the gel kind of gets cloudy, you know, and I like to drink a lot. I like to drink alcohol and the chocolate bars and that kind of thing. And for a diabetic, that's not a good thing, so.
No.
So I had to cut down on all of that.
Well,
that's more important, I guess. So, yeah, I had to do that. And but those are things that I enjoyed, and I never done too much of it, but I guess enough, too much, I guess, probably more than I needed to for my eye. But anyway, I'm trying to get back into the swing of things. I got some of my folks here. I want to add something to this committee thing, and I haven't had a chance to really hear what's going on with this. But a group to study the law as part of this committee, would that be advantageous?
Oh, you mean, you mean for the courtroom observers? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, yeah, more for the, kind of as a part of the courtroom observer, but I know the committees of safety was another issue, and I was just wondering if anybody knew. Like I said, I wanted to put together a group of people to really start taking action in court.
Oh, well, you know what you would be good, Curtis, is for you to get on the board call at 8 o'clock, just before the Monday night call. So it's 8 o'clock Monday night. They're having a board room or board. The people on the board call, and it's the same. It's this call room too. But I think you need to get on that.
Okay, on the Tuesday night.
No, on Monday night.
On Monday night at 8 o'clock.
Yes, right before the other one.
Okay. Maybe that's why I'm missing it because I'm not getting on there till 9. I just started. Well, I just this past week I was trying to. The last 2 weeks I've been trying to get my constitutional courts out of the way, and so that's done.
Good. Well,
yeah,
then you need to get on. Yeah, you need to get on that call. So, all right. Well, glad to see you back. I'm gonna check in with some other people here and see if anybody if anybody has anything to report. Are there any cases you're working on or helping anybody with?
Yeah, there's helping two people. There's a young man here, and his mother, I believe, has come to the meeting a couple of times. Let's see, a gentleman in Arizona has been arrested, and I've been trying to advise him. I'm waiting for some things to come back that I had asked him for. And then Rebecca Sharp, her son has been arrested, you know, under a entrapment. That means absolutely an entrapment deal. I mean, I know how they work. Oh, I would like to make a suggestion, too, if I can.
Yeah.
I had my son in the Army, and one of his associates, all of his GI buddies, I got to know a bunch of them when they came back from Iraq, and one of them was going to go into law enforcement. And he changed his mind. And I was able to talk him into giving me some of his books. And I got one here called Criminal Procedure, 7th Edition, Seminole. I got to suggest everybody buy that book. Now, right now, you can get them new. I think these are like 60 or 80 bucks a piece because it's a textbook. But if you buy this, used ones, you can get used ones like on eBay or Amazon. I've seen them as low as $7.
Hmm.
I would suggest getting it because it tells you how they're doing and what they're doing and what the courts think. It gives you court cases. Oh, man, questions. This is
so
the
is that
best
why
I've seen, you know, by the other side, but it's telling us how they're doing stuff.
Is that why he decided, changed his mind about why he wanted to go into that profession or whatever?
I don't know that that's really it, but I've met several other people. That one was going to law school. He was actually going to be an attorney. He's a very bright individual. And he got to seeing how crooked it was in there. And he'd already gone for 2 years, and he quit. Now he does computer repair, and I'm teaching him how to do mobile home setups because I got to sell my stuff. But that's how I met him, was he was buying my equipment, and that's kind of helping me a little bit. So I'm trying to get him motivated to get into this because he's got a really good knowledge. He's a very bright young guy, about 45. To me, that's young, but he's in his 40s, but younger than anybody else I know. But, you know, that's something I'm trying to work on is get some key people in that have some experience and knowledge of, you know, the court system. But this book, I can't talk about it enough. You know, Criminal Procedure, 7th edition, Samahaw is the author. And you can get it right online, go right to eBay. This book will help guide you because it's telling you how they're giving your consent. It
right.
tells you when and where they push the line.
Right.
On everything. I mean, this unbelievable. This book goes into some really good detail. I mean, it's a really well... Because a lot of other books that I get, you know, in law, of course, it's all statutory law, but it does talk about common law in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's very brief. They don't like to talk about it much, but they don't want to talk about that even in the jurisprudence book. So I have a small set, you know, a portion of them. Really, a very small portion. I got like 30 out of, I think it's 30 out of 153 books. I've got 30 of the 153 set. And they're older ones, but they're still very valuable because they talk about quorum nobis and those kinds of things. And they're very eye-opening, especially if you listen to the tapes by Bill Thornton and a few of the other people. But Bill Thornton's stuff really lines up well with this stuff. Really, I bet you. Anyway, I'll get off and let somebody else. If anybody has any questions... I can try to help guys if they have any legal issues. You know, I try to give them the information that I have in hand, you know, to,
right.
you know, with their cases outside of, you know, the grand jury, MLA grand jury thing. If you're being forced to deal with something on your own,
right.
then, you know, I try to guide you a little bit in that area. But right now, that's the only two cases that I'm working on. I've got... I've had two or four. Actually, there's four cases I've tried to help with, but with their particular situations, I don't think they're. I'm going to get back in touch with those people. And that, those were child custody cases, both of them.
Wow.
And those weren't working too well, but I'm seeing how I think those should go in court, you know, to get their children back. But it's all fraud. Everything they're doing is fraud, of course, but. Some things they'll recognize, some things they won't. And money they recognize.
Right.
Yeah, because it's really all it is. It's just money to them. Anyway, that's all I got to say. And it was good to hear your voice. Glad to see you and glad to be back.
All right. Thanks a lot. So, all right, anybody else got anything to report about a case, their case, or somebody you're helping? Anybody got me? Ruth, what are you doing on here?
Hello?
Hi, Crystal.
How you doing?
Okay.
Yeah, I've been in court for the past 2 weeks, and I brought people in here, and they threw my case, and then come to find out the jurist, well, there was some lying stuff that they put in my case. For example, wait, what was one of them? One was about a case that they had settled for me, I guess in 2006, and I just found that out. And I was never even there. It was in federal court. That came out. And they tried to use that. And I'm like, what are you talking about? They were trying to discredit me. And so when the judge goes, let me see those paperwork, which my neighbor never even appeared on any of the documents. So we got to file that up now. And then another one, they put about a medical report, which was falsified and never saw no doctor. And they threw that out. So this jury on there, she was running, I guess after they ruled against me, they put the things that the judge said inadmissible and whatever. Did I say that word right?
It was admissible or inadmissible?
Inadmissible.
Okay.
Okay. It wasn't even supposed to be in there because there was no proof of evidence. And that's what this one, she was sitting there bragging, oh, she's a liar. Her credibility, oh, they said she was mentally ill. Oh, she did all this, you know. And all that wasn't even supposed to be in there because it was all falsified. So she mentioned it to somebody who I had as one of my witnesses, but she was unable to come. And I said, oh, my God. So she's going to give me an affidavit on everything what that jurist had said. Also, I got some paperwork back. This is, I wouldn't believe it when I said, well, wait a second. I said, I contacted the state. I want to see this paperwork. They got my medical records mixed up with somebody else.
Really?
Yeah. I just found that out. I said, oh, my God, who is this person? You know? So, I mean, this is major mess. Also, I told you when I filed for the bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And everyone I received a bill from, I submitted all of them. All their names as a part of the bankruptcy. Who did that entail? All the attorneys, the Lyon Mortgage Company that said I took out a mortgage, and everything was discharged. So when I had to go to court, they gave me a trustee attorney. So the guy, the first one, the judge, she ripped him a new one. The guy she had as a trustee. So the second time, he sent one of his partners there who was very rude, arrogant. He was a nightmare. And so she told me, she goes, well, do you want to still have your original attorney? I says, nah, I really don't, because I wasn't really comfortable, but I really didn't trust him. She goes, well, it's your choice, but it's my final call. So she goes, well, if you have him since he started the case, you might as well stick with him. So I went along with what she had to basically say. So we went to court. So then I went back to him, and I said, you know what? I want a common law jury. Common law jury. He said, well, why don't you just let the judge decide? I said, no, I want a trial, and I want a grand jury. So he goes, well, it's not my call. So the trustee, I contacted him, and I said, I want a grand jury, you know? And that was my first time ever going to a grand jury. Something, it really blew my mind about going to a grand jury, which I think we all need to be aware of. I have a question for each and every one of you. What did you eat last Wednesday, a week ago, March 5th, April 5th? Can you remember?
No.
Okay. What did you do 7 years ago on March 5th or April 5th? We don't remember. So these are the crazy questions they will sit there and set up. I wasn't really even prepped for all this, and I'm like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so what they did, and I see they do this for a lot of people, especially people that don't know any better or minority cases. They throw the cases way out. Cases are settled. My case hasn't even come through 17 years. You know? So when they start asking me all these questions, I don't really recall. They go, you can't recall? Well, and then afterwards I says, wow, this is how they get most of the people. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like my whole case was thrown under the bus. And, oh, well, you should have answered. Like, answered? And then I'm like, wait a minute. A week ago, I didn't even remember what I ate. And you're asking me what I did 7 years ago? You know? And, but when they started tossing around the stories and then the people that had dropped me and stuff like that because it left me really bad off, you know, I said, wow. So I thought it was going my way, but then they turned around because of what the evidence that she had, the false evidence that she put together. This is what the jury had based it on. But again, I said, but two good things came out of it. These false records of medical records and also that settlement that they had, and I guess the attorneys or whomever kept the case, you know. But definitely bring the grand jury. So they ruled against me, so I contacted the attorneys. Again, I said, I'm so tired right now. I said, I want you to contest, you know, I want another retrial or whatever. So the attorney goes, I'm not doing nothing. So he told his secretary, no, if she wants, she better hire another attorney. We're not doing it. So then I contacted my trustee attorney. And oh, this is really nice. I said, he goes, well, I'm not doing anything. I said, oh, but you are, because you are my trustee attorney, and you're acting as me. And you're supposed to be in my best interest.
Mm-hmm.
So what they told me today, he goes, as of today, I'm off your case, and I'm going to the court, and I'm not going to be a trustee no more, so don't call me no more. But you're the one who all took me to court for this illegal foreclosure. He goes, you've been discharged, everything's done.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're done with your case.
Well, my foreclosure case. But I had a trial case. I had a civil lawsuit case, which I want them to do it over because it was all botched up from this attorney. So I went to the trustee attorney, which we all got to remember, who's our trustee attorney when they put you in for bankruptcy or anything? The trustee attorney is the one who's supposed to be also known acting as you. So he's supposed to have my best interest.
Right.
So he said, he went down and filed and told me, the judge discharged you and I'm going to close your case out so you don't owe nobody nothing.
Good.
So that's something for people to, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because when, you know, a lot of people filed bankruptcy to keep their property, but put all your attorney's names in there because they're not with the debt collectors.
Right.
And I didn't, you know, it's just like, well, who told me? It's like every bill I receive from anyone, that's what I put in there. And I couldn't understand why they kept on returning it back to me like they didn't receive it. Even down to the Lion Mortgage Company, whom they just put their names on my property. And then they kept on saying they never received it, never received it. Also, another thing for you, when you're dealing with any of that, if I did it certified over and over, oh, my God, fax it.
Right.
And they got it, so I put that in my file. You know.
Right.
So, but the other thing, I am going to appeal because of the falsified records they put in there, but in that case that they settled, that was unbelievable.
And well, good for you. Good for
and
you,
just
Crystal,
bring it,
I mean.
Huh?
I mean, you're doing great, sounds like to me.
Well, as I said, you know, I don't tell anybody anything unless I go through it,
mm-hmm.
You know? And No, as I said, when I got all those bills and stuff like that, and the big problem was with all these attorneys, especially when it started with this illegal foreclosure, this attorney and this attorney. I mean, there must have been all 20 attorneys that jumped on board.
Right.
You know?
Well, it just seems like, to me, that's what a lot of these law firms are just doing. I mean, they're fake debt collectors and basically property stealers.
Exactly, and that's what's happening here. And one other thing, too, like with the utilities. So what happened, I think back this past November, this attorney went and put a $15,000 lien on my property, unbeknown to me. And I every month, check your property. So I said, well, wait a second, what is this for? And they go, so I said, wait a minute. So I said, my case was discharged, so how did you put this on my property? And furthermore, you're nothing but a debt collector. I will take and sue you. I said, because you're perpetrating a fraud. They go, okay, we'll get back to you. Okay, we're going to remove it off. They removed it off my property, okay?
You're right.
Then they turned around, so I went to the town to make sure it was taken off. It's still on there. And I said, no, I got the paperwork. So now the town tells me I have to pay $53 plus another $20 to record it. I said, I am not paying you nothing. I didn't ask them to put it on there. They go, well, guess what? It will still remain on there. Well, I was not a happy camper. And I spoke to the first selectman. I said, this is bogus. They said, well, you better contact the company that put it on there. So, surely, I made a phone call. I contacted them. They said, oh, no, we're not going to sit there and pay. You got to pay that yourself. Oh, really? I said, let me contact the media. You know? They said, wait a second. So they sent the certified check, and they took care of it. It was all cleared off.
Good.
You know? But it's just like they come in with very bad attitudes because the average Joe Schmo, we don't know. But you know what? This is wonderful because we all add a little piece to the pie and we're learning and teaching each other. You know?
That's right.
So, but, you know, because this is just absolutely absurd with this illegal foreclosure and all this other stuff that's happening. And as I said, because I've been also still recruiting, especially I've been running to a lot of college students and all. And I'm giving them all the information, you know, and they're all excited about it. And they got a large group going to the different colleges this week. So when they come back, because when they wanted to meet with me, I was tied up in the court. So we're going to be meeting with the students and all, and try to get them ready for the summer jobs because a lot of the kids are going to be graduating or coming out of college and stuff like that next month. So we want to get this rolling on this end, too. And I said, that basically, that's it.
All right. Well, thank you for all the stuff you're doing. Anyway,
another thing, too, when I was going to court, I bought quite a few people and different ones, different days, and they all found it, wow, we never knew how this went. I said, you know what? I didn't even know how this went myself, you know, because mm-hmm. this is my first time in my life sitting on a trial.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. But one thing for sure with the trials, and like the first question I asked you, what did you eat last Wednesday? What did you do last Wednesday? So when
yeah.
we go on trial, you know what I'm saying? These are the games. That's why these attorneys and all them have the upper hand. You know what
right.
I'm saying? Yeah.
Well, thank you for what you're doing. So let me go to let's see if there's anybody else on
okay.
here. So is there anybody else that has a case they're working on, their case, or helping somebody? Is anybody want to talk about theirs?
Laura?
Yeah.
Hi, it's Tanya. How are you?
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm okay, thank you. So I think I told you about my case last week. I was at court with, and I had, you know, it was really great because two people showed up as court observers, so that was so awesome. And then I hooked a group over here. They're not really a part of NLA, but they know, like, they're very familiar with what's going on, and they're extremely active. So they're actually, they're meeting with a local, anyways, they asked me to go today. So we went with a meeting, we went to this meeting to meet with our local congressperson or something like that. Hold on, let me see who we met. We met Evan Lowe. He's one of our assembly members. And so they were complaining about, you know, all this stuff that's going on. So anyways, that was the first time I was there. And I tried to explain, and it was a really quick meeting, and people were complaining about the judges and what's going on with the system. And there was a woman there from a newspaper and another lady from another activist group. And anyways, to make a long story short, they're trying to figure out how to come up with, to really come down on the judicial system. And I told her that, you know, I'm a member of this organization, National Liberty Alliance, and I said, you know, the key, as far as I know, is to go after the sheriff who is the an elected official, and if we could somehow work on that. So my question to you is, I wanted to know, is that something I would need to go on to? Is that the committees of safety thing?
Oh, for the sheriff? Yeah.
Yeah, because they're ready to go down back to the courthouse and protest, these people. And so they're just so angry. You know, they're thinking about getting a whole bunch of people together, call your friends. And anyways, they're, you know, they're angry about everything that's going on here. So, and like I said, it's the only thing that I'm aware of. Whatever I had found out from National Liberty Alliance is, do we need to go to the sheriff, right, and complain at that level? Is that correct? Do you know?
Yeah. Well, right. But we'll see, because the sheriff is supposed to back the people, not the courthouse. But right, the majority of them don't get that. They just do whatever the judge tells them to do. They don't really understand what their real job is. But we have been educating them for the last 3 years. They get all our documents. And so there's also a group of sheriffs who get it.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't know if you're, you know, you have to kind of feel your sheriff out.
Yeah, I think she's really resisting, you know. I think the whole county is, but apparently they said that Santa Clara County, where I am, it's the most corrupt county in the whole California. So, I mean, it's really, these judges are so out of control. Even last week I went to court, I didn't say a one word. I mean, I did have the public defender speak for me, but I didn't even, they just called my name. I didn't even say hello because I just didn't want to even acknowledge for any purposes of if they would, you know, the transcript, right?
Mm-hmm.
They did, I mean, it was over in, I don't know, less than a minute, you know. And so basically what happened was, after talking to the people, they went ahead and, you know, we kind of came up with some ideas, just started, like, to do some kind of a strategy. And so I filed a CCP 170.6, and that's a peremptory challenge. Have you heard of that?
No.
No, you can remove your judge from the case. And so, anyways, there is in every single state, they have different numbers, but every state in the United States has this option. You can only do it one time in the case. And so what I wanted to do was I wanted to remove my family law judge because that's where the problem's originating, right? Anyways, he has to basically leave on my argument. And so what happened was he responded and he denied my motion. I mean, I don't know if he's stupid or he enjoys being humiliated, but probably both, but he actually denied it. And I think it's so funny. So anyways, we were talking about this. They said, that's okay. We're going to go to the, we're going to do something else because there's other options, right, to remove them. Because you can ask them to recuse themselves, and if they don't want to, and they probably
that's
won't.
Not, you're saying it's not an option for them to say, no, I don't, I'm not going to.
Right. Well, this particular, like I said, it's called a peremptory challenge. You remove your judge. And I filed this based on my argument was jurisdiction. And he just came back and he said, no, he wrote it in all capital letters, didn't he? So it's kind of funny. But I did find out something really interesting through these people. Right now, I understand that National Liberty Alliance has a case in New York and, you know, we're attempting to get into the courts and all of that. I get that, okay? But right now what I found from these people were there's only two courts that recognize natural living human beings and common law. And the only two courts right now that recognize that is the bankruptcy court and the probate court.
Interesting.
So, isn't it? It's very interesting. And they have a whole bunch of cases in there. They're transferring all kinds of stuff over. So they've been very successful, which is great. And, you know, they've been doing this stuff for many years. And, you know, I'm just, you know, learning whatever I can. But anyways, that right now, that's what they said. Those are the only two courts that recognize common law. Like, you can go spinning in circles with the other ones, but until MLA gets, you know, until we get in, I think it sounds like it's still going to be a battle, you know?
Well, did you get on the call when I first read this good news that we got about Arkansas?
I did, and I just looked it up while you guys were talking. So I looked that up, but I don't understand what Sharia law is. I don't
Sharia
understand.
Sharia law was what they were... was trying to impose. It's a Muslim law, which is really they're just making sure we don't have it because they've been threatening to give it to us or whatever. It's pretty repressive.
What, Sharia law?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So then why would that be good news then?
No, it's not. They can't do it. That's what it said.
Oh, it said they can't do it. My understanding was that I didn't understand that.
No. It said they could not do that. They can't bring it in or anything.
Okay. Now, that's interesting. Yeah, so I did hear that. I heard the whole letter that you read.
Or any foreign law, which means mm-hmm. their admiralty law or their British, mm-hmm. you know, registry. Whatever.
Yeah, they're trying to do that because Mike just sent me something. I think it was Mike who sent me something that in Canada. Was it Mike? Because he sent me something that just came from Canada. They passed some kind of a law similar where you cannot something against Muslims. You can't say anything against the Muslim community. There's a new law, right? Was
so
it Mike?
Michael, he's on. Michael, do you know what she's talking about?
I'm not sure.
Maybe. I thought it was you. I thought it was a Facebook connection where maybe it wasn't. No, I'm pretty sure it was. I'd have to double check again. But there's a new law in Canada where you cannot say anything against Muslim people. Was it from you, Mike?
There was something from Canada, I think, I did send you on Sharia law, where it said that you weren't able to protest it.
Apparently, law came in, you're not allowed. No, you cannot say anything racist against the Muslims.
Right?
That's a legislative law, and legislative law is only if you consent. This is where people are really confused, I think. Common law, or the law of the land, is law that's been amended by the Constitution and the people. Either the states did or the people in convention do it. That's the only time you can amend the Constitution and make law. The only other time you can make law is when a sovereign opens his court, then he declares his law to the judge in the form of what he decides and tells them what the law of the court is, what the law of the case is, what to take judicial notice of, what to take judicial cognizance of. Now, that's in common law, and the sovereign is the king. Those are the only two times law really come into play. Everything else is legislative law,
mm-hmm.
and it's only law by consent. So if you don't consent, it's not law. And that's why I was suggesting that people would purchase these books to learn how they're getting your consent. It's very subtle in a lot of different ways, but it gives you the court cases and so forth, so that when you know how they're doing it, instead of, because they use fear, threat of use of force, and intimidation, they do it not only on the road. All the legal officers out here, they're all being trained for this, especially state troopers. But when you get into court, the judges and the bailiff, they're doing the same thing. They're using this threat of use of force, fear, intimidation tactics, and their arraignment process, which I call an arrangement process, whereby they intimidate you, room 101, torture, you know, and until they get you to accept their conditions. And you just have to keep saying no. You're not going there. And there's nothing really they can do about it. You just tell them no, and that's what you need to do. No, you either say I object, or you know, no. When they ask you something, no. You'll call them a liar, because they do lie. They are lying. It's okay for them to lie if they can get you to help them, because that's one of the tools they've been authorized by judges to lie. So if you understand that, then don't let them get you into a contract where you're accepting the jurisdiction, because everything is jurisdiction. Don't accept the jurisdiction. Throw it out. Now, as far as your judge, you're talking about there, the lady was talking about the judge. If you want to get him removed, all judges are elected. All foreign court judges are appointed, or they're given a position with a corporation, but they're not elected as judges in common law. They're law by consent. And they're courts of consent for money only. You can only make deposits. And the Secretary of State is the individual up there, the Secretary of State, we're going to write this one down, he's the one that's responsible for giving the oath and keeping track of lawful judges. He has a list of all lawful judges that have given an oath and that were elected. They're on a list. If you write him and make him give you and check out the judge's name in the court, of course, the court you're going to is a corporate court because it's all caps, and it's usually got of in it or some other form. You know, it's not the Lunenburg County Court. It's Court of Lunenburg County in all caps, or some other corporate entity's name. And those judges are not common law elected oath judges. They don't have an oath. But if you write the Secretary of State and ask them to verify whether this judge, if there's a judge on their list that has been elected and has given their oath, and you just want him to verify. And once you get his letter back that says no judge by that name, well, you got him. Now you can file criminal charges against him because he's chosen as a judge and he is not.
Well, the thing is, it's our sector. I know, like in California, they're really unhelpful. They are truly unhelpful because I've already tried to deal with them a few times. I did go down to the courthouse though to get my what I'm dealing with now is in the criminal courts, but it originated in a family court. So I did go get the judge's oath of office at the family court, and then you know I do have that. What I did ask for after that was the judge's bond. I want to know who's carrying his bond, because they said that he's not carrying it personally, that the state has it. So I contacted them. This went back and forth, and the state's saying, no, it's the courthouse. I went down to the courthouse. They won't even get back to me anymore, so I can't even get to the answer to that, because I was told you can file a complaint against the judge's bond. So now when we met the man today from the assembly, I told him specifically that's what I'm looking for. I want that so I can file it, because I already contacted our judicial vicar and our vicar general, okay, and they won't do anything either. But they're supposed to have a bond, either personal or by the state. And if that's okay, that's the case.
Right. Well, see, if he's got a bond, that's telling you that he's operating outside of the public. He's operating in private. That's why he has to have a bond. If he's operating in private, if he's operating in the public interest, then he doesn't need a bond because he's immune. But when they go outside of that and act in private, and that's what these corporate guys do, that's why they have to have a bond, and they have to have an oath. And just because he's giving you a paper that says he has an oath doesn't mean he's been elected and doesn't mean he's been given an oath by the Secretary of State. And that's the law. He has to have it. The Secretary of State is the one that keeps that record. You go to him, and you get your proof, and then you file suit against him. You get him off of that court. You get him removed in a legal way, and it will stop that proceeding.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, that was the thing. The thing is, like I said, this originated in family court, and now I'm in criminal court because they said I violated a restraining order. But that sounds awful, I know, but it wasn't exactly like that, okay? Anyways, I wanted to tell you that when I was in court last week, the public defender said that the district attorney wants to deport me.
Deport you where?
Because I'm originally from Canada. I only have an alien card, like a green card, right? And they want to deport me because of this, of what happened. Like, they're really making a big deal. And what's really cool now is just 2 days before that is that California now has become a sanctuary state. So, which means anybody who is, let's say if you're not from the United States, and let's say if you committed a felony, you can't be deported for crimes. I mean, you can't be deported for that specific reason. We've become a sanctuary state 2 days before they told me that. So that's actually not good in one sense because, you know, there are some dangerous people out there. But for me, what happened, you know, I mean, I showed up at my daughter's school. I had no idea the judge threw her in a 5-year restraining order, you know. I didn't know that. I was there okay, and all of a sudden, there's a new order. They call 911. It's, you know, the whole thing is ridiculous. But anyways, that's what happened. But what I will do is, now that I heard this gentleman, I will double check with the Secretary of State. But honestly, they are so unhelpful. They just, like, you know, they just redirect you. They just make you go in circles.
Well, if you have that order sent to them get you a notary public and have it sent to the notary public, pay them to send a letter and have that returned to you through that notary public, because that notary is just like the judge. That's putting him on notice that he's got a legal duty and responsibility to respond to your question. And if he doesn't, then you can charge him as well, because now it's a conspiracy. It's family rescue, like John says.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So this is the only way we're going to get these people, you know. We need to do to them what they've been doing to us. We need to get the evidence, because their evidence is phony, deception, trickery. They're getting you under contract without full disclosure, using deceit and fraud. We're going to use the truth and get the evidence, and then we're going to hang them. That's the way we're going to get our country back. We're not going to get our country back by being nice. You're not going to get your country back by going down there, please give this to me. I mean, you can try that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you cover your tracks and you get the evidence, this is a game of who's got the evidence, because if we get the evidence, we're going to force it on them. And if we get enough people to go down there with the evidence, that's what you're going to hear from them. I'll get it for you, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You know, when they say, because I've been through this in military installations, military bases where they're top secret. I mean, everywhere in Virginia, the Federal Reserve. And they want things from me, and I tell them, no, this is the law, this is what you're going to do, and if you don't, I'm going to charge you. And they don't like it, but they'll walk off sometimes because their stupidity will show. And I'll get through there, and I'm not going to give them what they want. They're going to get what I give them, which is lawful, and which is in their code. You know, and if you don't cower down and don't let them scare you, and just be really aware of how they entrap you and get you to consent, because it's the consent thing that hangs us, and that's what they use for fear, because they're watching your behavior. And if you start getting nervous and shaky, They'll attack you. Nikki calls it broadside. They'll broadside you with, can you speak louder? They'll interrupt your thinking, your train of thought. They'll disrupt you. They'll intimidate you with the bailiff. You know, go with an arrester. You know, but you look at him and you tell everybody in court, you know, you're all my witnesses. This man's intimidating you. He has no authority to do that. You know, there's no reason for it. So you incorporate everybody that's standing there, and they're not gonna put their hands on you. But don't be afraid of their crap. And in most cases, I mean, every time I've had to come up against a cop, if I give him his fear, he's gonna trample all over me. The one who's not afraid, you know, like Frederick Douglass, you know, it's not the one who cooperates that's going to get me, you see. It's the guy that stands up and says, if you want to tangle with me, buddy, you're going to pay the price. They don't want to pay the price. They want somebody who's easy. They want somebody who's going to try to cooperate so they can roll over you with a steamroller.
Right.
And that's what you got to understand. And some people out here know that. I know John knows it. some of us know it, but it's a hard thing to understand until you've actually used some of this stuff on a smaller level, you know, with the local police, and that's usually the best place to start. But, you know, you test the waters, and if you know your stuff, they'll back off. You know,
yeah,
I've never had any trouble with them. If I press them, you know, tell them, no, I'm not signing your ticket. I'm not consenting to your court. We're not contracting. Our conversation's over. If you didn't see me commit a crime, you don't have a warrant from a jury. You don't have a warrant from a judge with two witnesses, bona fide, certified, verified. We're done. And I'm done. I get a little excited, but I hate to see the fraud. And I hate to see people getting jammed. You know, by these criminals, because that's what they are. You haven't done anything. It doesn't matter if you're from Canada or Mexican trying to come over here. Everybody's just trying to better their life because things suck where they're at, and they think it's better here. Unfortunately, they're causing a problem here, and they're taking away our ability. They don't understand our background. Our own people don't understand what's going on, so... you know, I have compassion for them, but when we're getting nothing but criminals here, we need to get them out. And I'm just so glad we got Trump right now. That's just probably the best thing that's happened in the last 50 years. At least he's making the motions like he's going to fix things, but we'll see. But in the end, it's going to take us. It's going to take a handful of us. It's going to take probably a 3% of 1%, and that's us. Everybody that's at this meeting, that's it. This is us. It's not likely we're going to have swelling numbers here. We may have a few more to get a little bigger in there, and they may vote differently. But as far as, you know, going to court and filing suit and taking these guys to task, no. I don't see no big numbers. We're going to have to do it, and we ain't got time to train groundswell numbers. We've only got 10 years here to do this, and actually 8 if Trump lives that long enough where we got a little bit of help. And I think that's all we're getting is a little bit of help. And if we don't stand up and learn this and start prosecuting our cases, what some people term, if we don't start administering our servants, they're going to administrate us. And I'm tired of them administrating me. I'm sick of them. I would rather go to jail than consent to one more mal thing, one more getting into my pocket, one more using your threat and your gun and your cowboy hat to come down tough on me. You're going to talk to me with respect, Mr. Lawman, or me and you're going to have a problem. That's just bottom line. I'm not backing off. I will never be afraid of government again. You know, the law, if you understand the rule, Jefferson said it better than anybody I could ever duplicate. That simple one-line thing. If the government fears you, that's liberty and freedom. If you fear the government, well, that's tyranny.
Oh, no, automatic.
What's it going to be? And that's really all you got to do is decide. Well, am I going to be afraid? You have to stop living in fear and start making them live in fear. It's their turn to live in fear. We're the people. They're the servant. It's not the other way around. And we're in the right. And if we know we're in the right and we've got God's backing and support, if he is for us, who can be against us?
Okay.
I'm done. I'm up. I'm going to shut up.
Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. With that said, I think it's a good time to close the call because it's 10 o'clock, and we'll see you next week.
Okay, Laura, I just want to tell you that I sent you the email with all the, with every single state that's listed for judge recusal, okay?
Oh, great. Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Good night, everybody.
Okay. Night. Bye.
God bless everyone, please.